Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to another middle-aged mini, number 22. Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, gentlemen?
Nothing too much. We're on a different day today. It's a Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Quick get together.
A little weird.
Knock some stuff out, you know. Yeah.
I was super excited. I didn't want to be super annoying about it either. Like, guys, I'm ready to get together. But that's how I feel.
That's right. I
could do this every day.
I feel the same. Yeah, it was weird, though, thinking, hey, we're going to record a little bit today on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be
that Wednesday night.
Stage 5 clinger again.
That's all right.
Still. I'm not only the big. I know I'm on this show, but I'm one of the biggest fans of this show.
You are.
So I am, and I'm a huge clinger.
Why do we keep his mic on? How can we keep that?
I don't know. You should have kicked me off like episode 2.
We should just let him hang around, and sit there, and talk. And
I thought you were going to replace me with Carol. Remember Carol when she was going to come on the show?
Who?
Carol didn't know about that, right?
My mom.
That's what I'm saying.
She'd love it.
Yeah. She would love it.
She's a talker. She's. Middle-aged 22. Whew. I like it.
Two.
Yeah, because we won't be meeting up this week because of Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving and
Turkey
all.
Day.
It's kind of a nice week, though.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Eating I have holiday. A three-day week, and Amy's off all week, so she's enjoying that.
There'll be some good eating this week.
Oh, yeah. And then
and family time.
Then we'll meet up the following week. So, mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into it. Sean, tell the creepies what 22 is about.
Since we're jumping right into it, it is on Sloss... furnaces, and that sounds made up, doesn't it? Like when I didn't know anything about this. I think I kind of heard about it before, but I really didn't know much. And then when you look into it, it's like, this is pretty wild.
I don't know how I heard about it, but I think it was on like a lot of times just on another podcast. And but it's been a while. I don't know who. Yeah, like I said, I can't remember who even did a story on it. So pretty good, I think.
I've never heard of it.
No.
Nope.
I think that's one of the best. Those are the best topics is when one of us or both or two of us or sometimes all three of us don't really know much about something. And we just do some, you know, we're picking up this rock. Oh, what's under that rock? Oh, what's over here?
Exactly. So
that's what this will be for me, basically.
Yeah.
But
So
it is a national historic landmark in Birmingham, Alabama, in the United States. Here we go. U.S. baby. It operated as a pig iron producing blast furnace from 1882. To 1971. After closing, it became one of the first industrial sites and the only blast furnace in the U.S. to be preserved and restored for public use. In 1981, the furnaces were designated as a National Historic Landmark by the United States Department of Interior. Wow.
1871. Now, it wasn't 1882, but 1971 was the year I was born, so I'm not sure. Yeah. So
that's like ancient history.
50, I know. Close 50 years ago.
Exactly.
It was what had been close to 100 years, almost, you know. Well, what, 88 years, 89 years, something like that? Yeah, that's a long time.
Now, I grew up, this makes me think of a little bit of like steel mills as well, you know, and those blast furnaces.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in Kokomo, and they used to have a steel mill. And I lived not too far from it, and you could hear it running and operating.
Oh, you could.
And we had, there are all kinds of stories about people getting hurt on the job or killed. And, you know, you hear those gory stories of like, they were so burnt, you know, that we just had to kick them in and there was nothing you could do. Oh. So that's what this makes all, me.
I mean, I'm laughing, but
doesn't
so
it?
Yeah. So
this,
bad,
it does not operate anymore.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just reading through a little bit here, mentioning that steel mill, that reminds you of a steel mill. It actually produced high quality iron first year of operation. Back in 1882, a long time ago.
Yep.
I think the interesting thing is that when people came to get a job with this company in Birmingham, they thought it was like this golden city and they were going to be living the high life working for this factory. And they said it was anything but. It was these little shanty houses that they provided for you. And you couldn't use real money. They used, did you have some on that, the fake money?
I think it was only
good in their little town.
Yeah, I think that was sort of industry... like status quo of,
is that right? See,
I think a lot of like industrial spots, it was they furnish you a home, but it was in their own little encampment type thing. They weren't anything fancy. They had their own currency. You couldn't spend it anywhere else. You had to spend it at that company's stores and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of industries did that.
So you sold your soul to that company, which is pretty much what the case was with this place.
Everything went through them. Everything went to them.
I've heard that with numerous different industrial things.
It's kind of like that. It's pretty wild. You're doing it on like
Kings Island.
Yeah. How they had their Kings own little village.
Yeah, the ammunitions factory there. Yeah, the same thing. Own. They had their own little community there. They built houses. Hey, here's a house. You can work for us.
Yep.
I don't know if they had their own currency.
Right.
But a lot of them did.
Mm-hmm. Everybody lived there and worked there. And it's just its own. Yeah.
Well, and that's how the employer kept a hold of these people. Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll pay you. You can buy stuff at our stores, but they can never make money to leave.
Sneaky.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
It is. Well, I mean, I just didn't realize
what to learn on here.
Right. How widespread that is.
I learned, yeah.
It says, in the years following the Civil War, railroad men, land developers, and speculators moved into Jones Valley to take advantage of the area's rich mineral resources. All the ingredients needed to make iron lay within a 30-mile radius. Seams of iron ore stretched for 25 miles through Red Mountain, the southeastern boundaries of Jones Valley. To the north and west were abundant deposits of coal, while limestone, dolomite, and clay underlay the valley itself. In 1871, Southern entrepreneurs founded a new city called Birmingham and began the systematic exploitation of its minerals. And that one of those was Colonel James Withers Sloss, which is what it's named after.
Yeah, he was one of the founders.
He was an Alabama merchant and a railroad man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say it like that. I guess anything south. We talk about Alabama stuff. I just have to start.
Is that how they talk railroad
man? It's our second Alabama story, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, I was going to say,
What are you, Southern Belle?
I might just be.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, you do not want. I don't want to do that voice anymore.
Is this what happens when we meet on Sundays?
On a Sunday.
We're like a box of chocolate.
I thought a Sunday.
We're a box of something.
Sunday would be more. It's a kind of a dreary day. I thought it'd be a little more laid back and relaxed. Maybe not.
So I know we have a character to talk about later.
Oh,
on.
Boy.
I've got one here.
I want to hear about
it. Did you guys hear about the Mr. Calvin Jovins?
Ooh, no. I didn't hear about him. No.
All right.
So, I want to hear about that.
Yeah. Because we'll kind of work our way up to the haunt, the more famous hauntings of that Sloss Furnaces. But this guy says, according to legend, Calvin Jovins still haunts the grounds at Sloss Furnaces. He said that he's quoted as saying, as long as there is a furnace in Jefferson County, I'm going to be working there. So I guess he was all in working this type of
he was all
occupation.
In.
Right. So what happened was, this is at another furnace. I don't know the name of it. It was not Sloss. He fell into the molten iron, and his family, of course, killed him. And it says his family said that his body was destroyed, and that the only thing that they were able to pull out was his heart.
Oh.
That's kind of gross.
Wow.
I know. So then the legend continues and says that Jovin's ghost moved from furnace to furnace where he would be seen working side by side with other employees. Well, that particular furnace that he died at shut down in 1927. Then people started seeing him at Sloss Furnaces. And even though Sloss shut down in 1971, people who enter the grounds at Sloss can still feel his presence and see him. So now he's haunting Sloss, but that's not where he passed away. I thought that was kind of weird.
That is weird. Yeah, that's not the first ghost story we've heard that before, though, right?
Yeah. So I wonder if it's just because of the...
Al Capone comes to mind.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, he's seen in Miami, he's seen in Chicago, he's seen, but it's weird because, he died at one and then haunts another. And I guess he was all in on this type
of... That's super creepy.
Furnace working, yeah. So Calvin Jovins. So.
Jovins?
Yeah. Hmm.
This says from 1882 to 1971, Birmingham's Sloss. I want to say it's Slosh. I don't know why. It's Sloss.
sloth. Furnaces. Well, I want to say sloth. Like,
do you want to say so? I keep. I know. I kept thinking I'm going to say
sloth.
It wrong.
Sloth furnaces.
So
I'll just jump in. I'll say floss.
Floss. Hey, there you go. See, we all got
floss.
A,
floss.
We all got furnaces. A corner, right?
Thanks, Nate.
Birmingham's sloth. It's just sloth with an S. Right? I know. That's what. But it's not that hard, right? Furnaces transformed coal and ore from surrounding acres into the hard steel that would pave the way for the Industrial Revolution. So that's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. That this paved the way from skyscrapers in New York's glittering skyline to automobiles being built in Detroit. America came to rely on Birmingham and sloth furnaces for providing materials needed to produce thousands of products. Birmingham grew to a metropolis almost overnight, earning its nickname, the Magic City. I did not know it had that nickname.
Mm-hmm.
But as with all progress, a price was paid in the currency of blood. Ooh. I like that. And then it talks about, I know we're going to, are we, is
the rise of slag? I'm on the same.
You're on that same one?
Yeah, I'm on that too.
I hate to take that one because that was,
no,
a, that's
we're all going to talk about it, so I don't
slag,
care who starts it. You can.
Slag is one of the most nefarious characters in this whole deal. And I love the nickname Slag.
I know. It seems weird, creepy already. You know, mm-hmm. Slag.
Slag is what you chip off your welds, or if you're making iron, it's covered in slag. You chip it off. It's
little pieces
of byproduct.
Oh.
So he's kind of like a little piece of crap.
So that's where, okay. So his nickname has something to do with the actual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Slag your iron.
Nate, I'm glad you're here today.
So
not only to run this thing, board and all that, but.
Well, we are a triangle,
cool.
Member.
So what is it? Tell me again what it is. What
I do a lot of stick welding. So when you weld, you have to protect the weld, and the flux on the rod creates slag. It encases the weld as you weld it.
Okay.
So then once you're done welding, then you take your slag hammer and you chip all the slag off there, and then your weld is there.
This is going to be a weird comparison, but it reminds me of like at the church when we set up for weddings. Okay, so we have the candles and stuff. It's like you put the candle in the the holder, and but then when it lights, so when it light all that candle wax drips down, and then before the next wedding, we always have to make sure we clean that off.
Clean that up.
It's kind of like that. It's like, you know, it does, it covers it, and then it's like we have to chip it off.
You got
to
knock it off there. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, okay. This is all news to me.
I know.
All the slags.
Yeah, I thought it was just a creepy nickname.
I thought it was a great name.
It is a creepy nickname.
Really,
whether
it has industrial meaning.
Super villain.
Okay. Okay. Mr. James Slag Wormwood. Okay. I get it.
So it says, in the early 1900s, James Slag Wormwood, and that even Wormwood's kind of
I know,
nasty
now that, that's
too.
A movie character, Slag Wormwood.
He was a foreman of the graveyard shift, the period between sunset and sunrise, where a skeleton crew of nearly 150 workers toiled to keep the furnace fed. During the stifling summer months, temperatures throughout the plant would reach more than 120 degrees. Lack of sleep, the heat, and low visibility made working the furnace literally a living hell, and only the poorest of workers, desperate for employment, would work it. These workers, mostly recently arrived, immigrants, were forced to live in the cramped housing located on the furnace site and could be forced at any moment to return to work. That's what it was like. You know, you're sleeping in your little bungalow, right? It's not a bungalow. Shanty, more like it. And they could wake you up at any time, even if you just went off shift. They're like, hey, we need you more. Come back to the furnace. So you were truly indebted to them.
I can attest to the living hell part of it. Because I've worked
so hot.
Well, I did a job where I was working right next to a blast furnace of a bottle company.
Yeah.
The blast furnace was turned off, but it was still extremely hot.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, you just stand next to it, and it felt like your skin was melting.
Melting off. I don't know how you would do
so
that.
So hot.
For days, months,
and, of course,
months,
I had to go
years.
Over there. Oh, we need some handrail replaced right here. And I have to go there. It was actually cooler for me to keep my welding hood down.
Down? Wow. And that's
block
crazy.
The heat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd go in there. I'd work like 10, 15 minutes, and I'd go outside because I'd just be sweating. And
I would think your body can only take so much at one time without having
nasty.
To take a break. Yeah. Ooh.
And that's with it shut down.
That's pretty wild, honestly.
I can imagine, when it's running. Whoa.
It said, to impress his supervisors, Wormwood would make his workers, or Slag, would make his workers take dangerous risks, forcing them to speed up production. During his reign, 47 workers lost their lives, 10 times more than any other shift in the history of the furnace. Countless others lost their ability to work due to accidents, mishaps, and even a recorded explosion in the small blowing engine house in 1888 that left 6 workers burned blind. There was no breaks. There were no holidays. There was only furnace and its constant hunger for more and more coal. And it said that one of the guys, that he told them that if he didn't get to work doing whatever particular job he had to deal with sharp edges of metal or whatever. And he forgot his gloves. So he's like, you're still going to work this 8-hour shift doing it without the gloves in, and or you're fired. Mm-hmm. And so the guy did it, and they said his hands reportedly were just bloodied up and whatever. And after that 8-hour shift, after that 8-hour shift, he still came by and said, you're fired.
Yeah.
But still made him work that shift.
Still did it. Just
said, you're worthless.
You want to, Nate, you want to read the Fall of Slag?
Yes.
Ooh, Fall of Slag.
And then I'll read the Haunting.
All this sort of remind me of the Hellraiser movies with Pinhead.
Yeah.
It's like pushing them into torture.
Right.
Just,
yep. That is awful, though. You make a guy do it. You say, well, you got it. And then you end up firing him anyway.
Man. Yes.
But just to get him to be able to do what you want. And that's cruel.
Mm.
That's heartless.
Well, in October of 1906, Mr. Slag lost his footing at the top of the highest blast furnace known as Big Alice.
Big Alice! And they said he'd never been up there either, yeah, which is interesting.
That's usually how that happens.
Mm-hmm. Funny how that happens.
And plummeted into the pool of melted iron ore. His body melted instantly.
They could only find his heart, right?
No, that burnt.
It was, yeah.
They got
it was
slagged.
Ice.
His heart got slagged.
It was ice.
It reported that Slag must have become dizzy from the methane gas created by the furnace and lost his balance. But Slag had never set a foot atop the furnace during his years of employment. Many thought that the workers had finally had enough of Wormwood's slave driving and fed him to the furnace. But no workers were ever brought to trial. Sloss Industries soon discontinued the graveyard shift, citing numerous reports of accidents and strange incidents that decreased steel production.
I think somebody pushed him.
Absolutely.
We have a problem up here.
Come on, Schlag, come up here.
It's very, very plausible that somebody just like,
we need your professional opinion up here.
We're taking him out.
Well, and decreased steel production. I mean, if he was a slave driver pushing these guys as hard as he could push them, well, even more, then you shut that graveyard shift down. There goes your production.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's like industry-wide now. It's like someone's life isn't worth the production and income, you know, profit.
Right.
You know.
I do. I think so.
But back then, they didn't care.
Oh, no. Just whatever it took to get the job done, get the production.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Where it needed to be. And
they said there was no government oversight, so they would.
Oh, no, they didn't have.
No.
OSHA.
Not back then.
12-hour shifts were common, and I heard 16-hour, and then they could, you might have gotten a little sleep, and then they could pull you again.
These guys had to just be working with, I don't know how they did it.
It's slave labor.
Exactly.
Hardly any rest. It's a wonder that they produced anything, correct? I mean, their concentration had to be off, I would think. Their physical body would just, I don't know how they did it. But, yeah, that guy. You didn't see anywhere that I looked. You didn't see any pictures or anything, did you, of Wormwood?
I did not.
I would love to know what he looks like. I have an image in my head.
They had what they thought he looked like, but not actual pictures, no.
I would love to know. You know what I picture, though, is like in your boys.
Deformed guy.
It's like the dude in,
Harry Potter?
No. Oh my gosh! What's the second Indiana Jones? Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom. Oh, okay.
Where that guy's just slapping at the kid.
The
slave driver. I mean, kids, but just no brakes or it's just these kids are barely moving.
The guy he appears in all the movies in some form or another. But
he ends up getting caught with the round. You know, but so I'll read the final part of this thing if I can get my phone back. Okay, the haunting begins. So it says the legend of Slag grew each year after his disappearance. Workers complained of an unnatural presence they increasingly encountered throughout the worksite. A night watchman in 1926 sustained injuries after being pushed from behind and told angrily by a deep voice to get back to work. The man, upon searching the grounds, could find no sign of any other living person. In 1947, 3 supervisors turned up missing. Wow. Mm. found unconscious and locked in the small boiler room in the southeastern part of the plant. None of the three could explain exactly what happened to them. All agreed they were approached by a man whose skin appeared badly burned and who angrily shouted at them to push some steel. Sounds like slag.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most horrifying tale occurred in 1971 when the night before the plant closed, Samuel Blumenthal, the Sloss night watchman, who was nostalgically taking a last look about, found himself face to face with the most frightening thing he had ever seen. He described it simply as evil, a half-man, half-demon, who tried to push him up the stairs. When Blumenthal refused, the monster began to beat on him with his fist. Oh, my gosh. I'm laughing. Just like, said upon examination by Dr. Jack Barlow, Blumenthal was found covered with intense burns. He died before ever returning to Sloss. It says there have been more than 100 reports of suspected paranormal activity at Sloss Furnaces recorded in Birmingham police records, from minor incidents such as steam whistles apparently blowing by themselves to major sightings and the rare physical assault. It is interesting to note that the majority of these reports happened in the months of September and October at night during the old graveyard shift.
Uh-huh.
Imagine that.
Yeah. And it says some merely dismiss the occurrences as Halloween hoaxes. Others believe it is the restless spirit of the sadistic foreman Slag.
Wow.
Ooh. I wouldn't want to encounter him.
Demonic Slag.
He's probably worse now in the afterlife.
That is great. Yeah, a lot of the stories, that's what it showed. It said, while exploring the Sloss furnaces, several visitors have claimed to hear strange noises and felt sudden temperature drops throughout the facility. Mm-hmm. Paranormal investigators have reported hearing screams and seeing shadows. The strangest thing about the sudden temperature drops is they usually happened in the months of September and October, like you said. And so it is so wild. So this would totally be a place that you'd want to like go and explore, right?
Yeah, I would love to go there. I don't know how far Birmingham, Alabama is, but
they said on one of the things that this is one of the most haunted places. They said definitely in the top 100. If not more than that, so of places haunted places in the world, and then definitely one of the most haunted places in America.
Yeah,
so I was like, ooh, Alabama really does have a lot of hauntings.
And I'm on a different site with notes about this place. It says, at night, this old building, now a national landmark, still echoes with noises from its perilous past. Screams are continuously heard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparitions are seen, and on the second floor of the Blower building, there is the sinister presence known as the Slag. Yeah, so this place is just not pleasant, I don't think.
7 hours from here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, that's not bad at all.
It's not too bad.
No.
491 miles.
And looking at the pictures,
field trip.
It's a really, really scary, creepy
place. It's spooky.
Place. Mm-hmm. And it looks big. I mean, but you know, all the rust and the, just, yeah. It's just old.
It's so,
and.
And the history behind it is interesting. This says I like the way this article wraps it up. The Magic City, which again, I had no idea that Birmingham was called that. The Magic City was built on the backs of ordinary men, and a great many of them toiled and died at Sloss Furnaces. Perhaps they haunt the grounds so the city does not forget their gruesome sacrifice. Wouldn't you love to know, like somebody that lives around there?
Yeah, I'd believe that.
We've been down past Birmingham a bazillion times.
Here you
never stopped though. Yeah, I've never stopped.
Well, we just went by it going down to the Gulf Shores.
Yeah, yep.
Back in October, mm-hmm. But yeah, these people immigrate here looking for the American dream, and end up in a slavery nightmare,
a hellhole,
working at this place, and then have no means of getting out of it.
Yeah, they're literally stuck. I mean, they have no hope. Doing better, getting. I mean, can you imagine the working for that guy? And then, oh my goodness sakes! I mean, it'd be hard work if you had like a really good, nice supervisor.
Yeah,
it'd be hard work. Period.
Yes,
you know, working in that environment. But this guy,
look,
he didn't help.
Another job I did was up north of Lafayette, Indiana, in Reynolds. It was a magnetation plant. They make little ball bearings of different. Mm-hmm. Ore makeup, so that way you can add it to steel, depending on what kind of steels you're making. And they had one of the production lines up and running by the time it was close to when I left. But we had to go and install a stairway catwalk thing over top of the belt with all the little BBs all in it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're still hot.
Oh.
And it's the same thing as being by that blast furnace. It was.
You're getting a call.
Don't worry about my.
Hello.
It's actually an alarm. I have no idea why I said that.
First time caller. Yeah, we're in there, and the same thing. I mean, we weren't by the blast furnace by any means, but the product was so hot. We'd go in there, we'd work, and this is middle of winter, too. And we'd be in there in T-shirts trying to put this thing together 20 minutes, and it's like, okay, we got to go outside. We'd go out, and I mean, steam is rolling off of us. We're in T-shirts, and it's, you know, 20 degrees outside.
Yeah,
I bet.
That's wild. Yeah.
Everybody going by, you guys hot? And does it look like it?
Yeah.
That's
Yeah, what made you think that?
I'm never going to complain about my job again. They have a Sloss Fight or Fright Furnace Haunted Attraction.
A Sloss Fight Club?
I didn't get that out right, did I? It says, the frightening history of Sloss Fright Furnace is perhaps one of the reasons it is listed as one of the top 100 places in the world for paranormal activity. Over the course of its history, thousands of workers lost their lives due to accidents, explosions, and perhaps even murder. Sloss creates a terrifying experience that takes you into the deepest, darkest parts of the furnace. So that would, I mean, they're getting y'all excited for something spooky, but I can't imagine. I was thinking about Bobby Mackey, you know, when we go back to that, we should totally, it's be a different place at night, but this place, like during the day, it'd be like, oh, it's interesting, you know, and fun to see. But then at night, these places are so much different. Fort Morgan's the same way.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the pictures of this place, like even in daylight, it's
really scary.
Oh yeah, there's definitely something creepy in there.
Yes,
and the way the light comes through, it's just
old. All the steel's all rusted, and
yeah,
it's just just screams scary.
But you're right. Yeah, and having a haunted house attraction would be that'd be awesome.
Because we're still working on ours, right?
That's right. It's gonna be the middle aged creeped out haunted house. Someday,
or is it?
It's going to be year round.
Yes.
Yep. I wanted to read this. I like. It says in 1988, a study was conducted by the Center for Paranormal Events, or CPE, in St. Petersburg, Florida, on Sloss furnaces. While no events out of the ordinary occurred during the study, which was in May, many of the team members, including two psychics, claimed that due to the violent disregard for and loss of life. Sloss furnaces should be considered a location rife with restless souls.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Sam is over here having some kind of a night terror.
Was that him?
That's Sam.
No, it's
or is that
the
boys?
Him. The boys are.
Oh, it's the boys.
Howling.
I brought Harrison with me so he could hang out with the boys.
The boys and
he said he's supposed to have baseball practice today, and he's like, oh, you think I could come with you? So they're. That's funny. I thought that was Sam, though. That's who I thought you meant.
No,
yeah,
no, I took
the
picture of him. He's in his podcast position.
He's dreaming
that's
then.
Funny.
Well, the boys are making some kind of...
That's Sam.
That's funny.
So restless souls. Rife. I like that word, rife, with restless souls.
It is. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't have activity there with all that, the horrible treatment of the workers, you know? Like, that's just terrible.
In 2000, Sloss was studied once again by the paranormal team of Fox's Scariest Places, who conducted that it was one of the highest rates of unnatural energy they had ever encountered.
I'm telling you, field trip.
We need to go. I know.
Field trip. Yeah, when you talked about, you were like, oh, this is one thing I want to talk about, and I was like, well, again, I think I have heard of it before, but I didn't, I was like, okay, sounds good to me. Oh, but yeah, then when you look at it, I'm like, this is a good,
scary, creepy stuff.
This is good choice.
It'd be doable. Leave on Friday, investigate Saturday, and come home Sunday.
What'd you say, 7 hours?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Not bad at all.
No. Shoot. You guys have anything else on the Sloss furnaces?
I don't think so. I do not want to work. I do want to visit, but I do not. I would never, ever, ever want to work in a place like that. I don't want your job. I do not want your job.
I was trying to look at one more thing. Okay. If you guys have something, that's fine. If not, I'll end it on this. On October 4th of 2003, another assault happened to one of our crew members, Josh Thomas, who had worked at Sloss for many years. So I thought this was interesting. Suddenly caught fire after seeing a strange shape. He suffered burns up and down his body and was taken to the hospital. He still cannot recall what happened.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Wow.
You know, that it is interesting that
this place is wild. I mean, it's got all kinds
of places where people get scratched or bitten or burned or whatever. I'm not surprised. There are probably some angry people there, angry spirits, you know, and you can't blame them.
Right. Not just Slag, right? It's others that were treated.
Yeah. I thought we were,
or died there, or
the name that we will not mention anymore, Slag.
Well, and like I said, Restless Souls, not soul, yeah, not just no one kidding. Guy. That's,
yeah.
It's,
he's the proprietor of all this mayhem.
Yeah, I think he's a heavy demonic presence there. But I mean, you have all the poor workers that, you know, in such horrible situations.
I'm thinking they might have taken it out on each other, you know, just aggravated.
Possibly, yeah.
Desperate for, the
sleep deprived inhumane treatment. Yeah.
They could have pushed other guys in the, I like the molten iron.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys liked the topic, and I think the creepies will too. So it's Lost Furnaces.
It was good. Yeah. That's good. Really good one.
I can't wait for everybody
to hear this one.
And maybe we can, check it out sometime. And well, that would be fun. What'd you say, like go on a Friday night? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, leave Friday night, investigate Saturday into the night.
Just make sure you bring Sunday. Your flashlights.
I'll have flashlights.
Here comes Nate.
He's going to look like Doc Holliday. I got two flashlights, one
there
for
you
each.
There you go.
and one on his head.
Doc Holliday or Doc Ock, I'm not sure which, but.
Yeah. So, yeah, right. That's right.
a little bit of both, baby.
He'll be coming out of his back.
Exactly.
Well, Nate, take us out, man. What do you think?
Man, you didn't know it was over already.
You're at a slosh, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm at a slosh.
Sorry, I stole that.
You stole that from
I totally did. I set him up. I set him up so he could knock it down.
Bing! That's a wrap.
Total slosh.
So sorry.
I don't. Now, you know what? I'm going to redo it.
No.
Let's start it all over.
I need the slow pitch.
Exactly. That's what I I knew it was working around up
Nate
there.
Nate said it's okay, and then I'll. All right.
Hey, he's the super genius, for real.
You're so proud of yourself, too. You're
a little bit. Just a little bit. I don't get that stuff.
All right. We want to thank you guys for listening to Middle Age Mini number 22. Hope you enjoyed that. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Later.
See ya.